3. You know, a lot of Christians, when you talk to them, and a lot of non-Christians, they have a lot of idea of what the church is. And the majority of them are not right. A lot of Christians, to them, and in their thinking, and the way that they believe and they feel, it's just a Sunday and Wednesday thing. How many knows church is not just a Sunday and Wednesday thing? It is a 24/7, you know, all the time. We together are the church. Now, we don't always assemble together 24/7, you know. I mean, that would be a little hard to do or whatever. But yet, still in the spirit, we're still connected to one another. You know, so church is not just a Sunday and Wednesday thing, or Saturday, whenever your church assembly meets together. If you got your Bible, let's look at our text, Matthew 16. And people have a lot of ideas of what the church is supposed to be and what the church is supposed to do. And I don't know where all their ideas come from unless it's first imaginations. Because a lot of things that even Christians believe and say that the church is supposed to do, I can't find scripture for that. So we want to make sure that we find out from the scriptures what the church is, what she's supposed to do, where she's going, and what she's going to be. Because she is one thing she's never going to be done away with.
Right.
There's part of the church in heaven right now that we are a part of, and but there's part still here left on the earth. There's part that hasn't come into the church or the body yet. So every time you see a person that's lost, think, I'm going to get supplies. My, we're called to help Jesus build the church.
Right.
Right? The Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. Right? That we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So anytime we see a lost person, in my mind, I need to think building materials. I'm going to help Jesus build the church. Would give you maybe even a greater motivation to witness to people. You know, a lot of times people are moved just by your testimony. When they hear what the Lord has done for you, and you tell that story with faith and excitement and enthusiasm, it causes other people to want what you have. So let's look here in Matthew 16. We're going to start reading in verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus didn't go around telling everybody he was the Son of God. It says, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Every one of us has to answer that question.
Right.
He goes on and he says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Now I told you the word Peter, it means like a small rock or a small piece of rock, one that you could pick up and throw, maybe like one out there in the driveway or whatever. And he says, and upon this rock, talking about the revelation that he has of Jesus being the Christ, he said, I will build my church. Notice who the church is. He doesn't say it's the Father's. He says, my church. This is Jesus talking. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What that means is, it's kind of like this. You was once locked up in the gates of hell before you got born again. The devil was your father, according to scripture. Everybody's born into sin because of Adam and Eve's sin, right? So therefore, the gates of hell has people locked up. But the Bible says those that Satan has blinded their hearts and minds, the thing that penetrates that is the preaching of the gospel, right?
Hallelujah.
It says the preaching of the gospel, the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, of who he is. And he says there, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We know keys lock things up, but they also unlock them. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, I told you the word church is ecclesia, if I'm saying that right. It says a calling out, a popular meeting, a religious congregation, an assembly. There's no way that you can be the church by yourself. Absolutely no way. Now, let's see. Y'all remember the scripture Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name? He said, there I am in the midst. That's an assembly, whether you got two or you got 2,500, right?
Right.
Now, let's look at 1 Peter 2. Excuse me. We're going to recap just a little bit. A couple of these scriptures we've already looked at, but we're going to look at them again. Oh, yeah, that in there. This morning. First Peter chapter 2. And just for time's sake, we're going to start reading in verse 4. That's John. I thought that didn't look right. I'm going to start in verse 1. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice, this is just a continuation of chapter 1, and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. How come? Because it tastes good? That you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now notice verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone. Now, what did Jesus say he was? He is the rock, right? But he is the living stone that the scripture is talking about here. It says, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, who's he talking to?
Us.
The church, right? He's talking to us today. He says, ye also as what?
Lively
stones. Remember what he told Peter? He says, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, just for time's sake, we're going to stop there. Y'all can go back and read the whole chapter. Notice what he says. You've been called out. What did I tell you the Bible says that the church is?
Called out.
Called out. What are you called out from? He says there you've been called out of darkness. So you've been called out of the kingdom of darkness, and he says, in one place, he said, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his dear son. So when you get born again, the church is the called out. We're called out of the world. We're called out of darkness, but we're not just called out. That's not just the end of the meaning of that. The word church, we are the called out, called together ones. We're called to fellowship with him, number one, personally, right? And we're called to fellowship, according to scripture, with each other. And we'll look at some scripture. I don't know if we'll get to it today or not, but anyway, that's what it says. Let's see where I want to go now. Let's look at Ephesians 1. The Lord told us when he called us out, he says, be ye separate. Don't mean I'm better than, means I'm different. And a person that is born again and a person that is not born again cannot have fellowship.
Amen.
I didn't say you couldn't talk to them. Because see, the word fellowship, one definition of the word fellowship, when I looked it up, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, it actually says intercourse. Now, we all pretty much know what that is. That is how deep, scripturally, the Bible talks about fellowship. Well, the Bible says that I can't have a fellowship, cannot happen between light and darkness. Somebody that's not born again may be a very good person as far as morally, you know, and do good to people, but they're not born again. They're still in darkness. Therefore, if you've been born again, you're not in darkness anymore. You're of the light, and there should be no intercourse, fellowship with one another. Why? Because more than likely what's going to happen, you're not going to bring them over to your side. They're going to corrupt you. And he says, light can't mix with darkness. Belial can't mix with Christ. Where did I tell you I go? Ephesians 1. Now, I want to start reading verse 15, but for time's sake, I'm not. I'm going to start reading 17. It says that the God, now he's praying for them, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, notice, in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his what? Most people, when they hear the word called, calling, they think fivefold ministry. That's not just the definition of that word. Every one of us, if you are born again, you was called out. And you answered the call.
Right.
And you're still being called today. You may be, I mean, when the Lord gets through growing whatever that he's doing or whatever at the time, building on you or whatever, you may be in the fivefold ministry later. But that's not the only call that you have. Every one of us is called to do something, to be something. There's a scripture that even says that we are being built. The word being is a present tense word. It does not stop. See, you may start out like a piece of gravel out there. I may start out like a piece of gravel out there in the driveway. But how many knows he wants us to grow and develop, and that's us working with him and with one another, because I can never get all that I need to get apart from you, apart from other people. It won't happen. But what he fully intends to do is we're built up to where we become like him, a piece of him that cannot be moved. You are not shaken. He's never moved. He's never shaken. You can't pick him up and move him or nothing, right? He is the foundation. What happens whenever you do a foundation? The bigger you're going to build the house or the building or whatever it is, the deeper you got to go. See, that's one of the reasons how come, because of the call, part of the calling on Scotty's life, he had to go through some of the things that he went through that did not feel good. Don't think everything's the devil. Why? God is building. Jesus is building his church. And he must make her where she cannot be moved. She will not be moved by anything, anybody, right? So he had to be in the place to where all these people, he was spit on, he was cussed out, he was mocked, called Bible thumper, all this stuff. And Roy Ralph told him, he said, I see you. He said, and you are a stake. He said, and there's a lifeline that comes from you that holds up the church. Assembly. Pioneered this church. Assembly. Well, and then he goes on and tells him, he said, but you're being beat down. And beat down. And beat down. And Scotty's like, oh, yeah, I'm being beat down. I mean, he could understand that. We didn't understand anything about that prophecy other than the beat down part. Now we do, because now it's come to pass and we can see all that stuff. Some things that you're maybe going through today is just part of God's building process. So let it work. I know I just said a mouthful. It don't feel good. You might not be being done right. Did you realize the Bible says we're called to not being done right, but still act right, think right, talk right, that when we're cursed, we're supposed to bless? Why? Because that's a building to where these things don't move you. Sad to say, some people can't even whoop the bed sheets to get to assemble together. And I'm not just talking about him, I'm talking about all over the world. Ooh, let's get back to what I was reading there. What verse we get to? 19?
You're in the middle 18.
Oh, okay. Let's just go back to beginning 18. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Do you realize you are a saint? You don't got to die to become one like some religions teach. If you've been born again, you are a saint now. Notice what he says, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's in me and you. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? To who? Why did he say you? There is no you anymore. There is no me anymore. There is no I anymore. Now there's only us, him, them, they, we. He goes on and says, to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. For above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet. Where is the feet in the body? All the way at the bottom. There's some people, their feet. There's some people, their eyes. There's some people, their ears, right? Y'all remember 1 Corinthians 12? Yeah. But that everything has been put under the church's feet. And it says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head. So we see Jesus is the head over all things to who?
Church.
The church, which is what? His body. The fullness, notice that, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The day that the last stone person gets born again, we're leaving. All of us, we're leaving. But notice what he says here. The fullness of him, his body is the fullness, like him walking here on the earth. There is nobody. You may have all, you know, nine of the gifts of the Spirit or whatever, most people don't. You know, you may be an apostle slash evangelist slash pastor, but you can't be all of them. Do you understand? He is every one of those. Absolutely. He was given the Spirit without measure. We have the Spirit with measure. We've all been given the same amount to begin with. Now, we build upon that, right? But notice he says it takes all of us, all of the church assembly, all over the world, to be his fullness. He says over there in 1 Corinthians, I'm thinking, what is that, the latter part of 13 or the beginning of 14, that he says, all of us only know in part. I have a revelation of Jesus, Sandy, but you've also got a revelation of Jesus. I may just have a revelation of him as being the rock, as being the Christ, my Savior. Then other people's got a revelation of him that has grown and developed, and he's given the increase, that they have a revelation of him as being their source, that he's their supply. There's other people like that lady that stood up in our church. She was a widow woman, and Scotty thought she was crazy. She said, her name was Sister LaVelle, and she stood up in church and she said, oh, Jesus is my lover. And Scotty thought, lady, you're sick. Why? He's carnal. We haven't been saved all that long. She's not talking about a physical lover. She's talking about a spiritual lover, that he is her everything. He didn't have that revelation that she had. You understand what I'm saying? We all have a part of that revelational rock that he's talking about he'll build his church on. So therefore, God has made this thing where we all need each other. Now let's look at, just put it on the screen for a second. I'm going to turn off that Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government, we know government is authority, right? And the government shall be upon his what? Notice it doesn't say upon his head. He's the head. But he says the government or the authority is going to be placed on the shoulders. Where's the shoulders? Right here. This is us. He's here, and we're from here down. But notice that it says upon his shoulders shall be the government, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase, notice that. Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against her. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, let's see where I'm going to go. I got so much notes here. I'm trying to figure out where I want to go next. Maybe Colossians 1. Let me check right quick. Because some of this I'm not going to get to until later, but then some I'm going to get to today. Colossians 1. Yeah, let's just read that, starting in verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father. Now he starts out, he's praying for him, then he switches over. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, that's a past tense word, already been done if you're born again, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, which is us, in light, who hath, past tense, delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Notice this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, notice that, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the church, the head of the body, the church. So this is what, 6-7 times we've read this over different places. It says, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Well, if there's a firstborn, there's a secondborn, there's a thirdborn, right? It says, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Notice this. I don't care what people teach. We won't worry, right? If. What's that mean?
Conditional.
It's conditional. Right? He says, if you continue. Right here's where a lot of people are today. They're not continuing. And we need to encourage them. Pick it up. Go again. Right? He says, it's called backsliding. He says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for who? His body's sake, which is who?
The church.
Which is the church. Notice the Apostle Paul is saying here, I am even having to endure afflictions of Christ for his body's sake, for the church. I don't find a lot of times today a lot of people that wants to endure anything for somebody else, including myself. I don't like pain. I don't like hardship. I don't like having to wait. I'm not saying nothing. Y'all ain't been Christmas shopping yet, have you? I don't like having to wait. I don't like having to wait on people. I don't like when I'm going down the road, have to stop and turn around like the Good Samaritan of what I'm doing. I my flesh would want to be like the priest and just pass on by. I'm sure somebody else will get him. Oh, y'all not saying nothing now.
Right.
Woo. Let's see. Romans 8:29. Put it on the screen, Zach. We're just going to do one verse there. I know you're supposed to have at least two, but I want you to see this just because of what it says. Y'all can read the whole chapter. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Notice this. We just read this in this verse over here. That he might be the firstborn among what?
Many brethren.
Because he was the firstborn, now we all can be born. If he wasn't born, can't none of us be born. I'm talking about being born again, right? So that's the second place we say that. He is the firstborn about among many brethren. I have another place. What part of the church you think we need to belong to? I understand how we got them, all these different denominations. You got your Baptist, you got your Pentecostal, you got your Methodist, you got your Presbyterian, you got your Lutheran, you got Church of Christ, you got Catholic, just on and on and on and on and on. I don't even know them all, you know. I mean, they said there's like hundreds, thousands of different denominations. Where did we get all that stuff from? Now, remember what I told you the word said. Every one of us only know in part. And it's good for us to fellowship with people that is not of what we consider or they consider to be our denomination. Oh, that was like, did y'all feel that? See, how do I want to say this? The thing that God wants to bless with that is different, the devil wants to curse with and divide. Why? Because his only thing that he can do to stop the church is to divide her. Why? He knows the verses. Jesus himself said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. It's impossible. So therefore, what's that mean? We can't be divided in here, or this part of the assembly won't make it. It won't stand. But also, when we get a worldwide picture, I've got to be hooked up out there with the Methodists. Y'all not saying nothing. I've got to be hooked up out there with the Baptist. I've got to be hooked up out there with the Catholic. Now listen to me. God, I believe God has born again people in all denominations. But that don't mean all denominations are right. You understand what I'm telling you? There's some, they got some real false doctrine. But see, the Baptists, Sandy, have a revelation that the Pentecostals think they already know. Y'all didn't say nothing. Now see, people consider me and this assembly here to be Pentecostal. Look at the one, Monty. When he come here, he told April, you know, they're Pentecostal, you know, them tongues and all that stuff. We're not Pentecostal. I'm a Christian. I am not a Pentecostal. I am a Christian. I am a born-again Christian that just believes and practices a part of the word that some don't have revelation about yet. And that some even teach against, which is actually false doctrine. Now, do I need to be divided? Bless God, I'm right. The scripture says it. You better get the Holy Ghost. If you don't pray in them tongues, you're not even saved. People do that. See, we all have a part. We all have a revelation. Revelational part of that. And God does that. But what he fully intends is we fellowship with the other parts. And we all get the revelation and come to the fullness of who he really is. But the devil wants to use those things to divide and conquer. It's just like this. I hate people to say this statement. Oh, there's 5 or 6 different races. Here we go. Y'all know what I've noticed myself? Y'all probably noticed it too. When I say, here we go, y'all know why I say that? I don't even mean to say that. One of the reason I say that is I sense him in a greater way. See, most of the time, the second I get up here, I don't feel nothing. That's why it's called you do by faith. I believe he's going to show up. I believe he give me this word. I believe he's going to show up, and I believe I'm going to be anointed. But when I say here we go, that means here we go in a little greater way. Just for y'all that will be ministering later on. You don't always feel it when you get up here. But just like this, you know, there's what? You got Chinese, you got Mexican, you got, what do we call, Caucasian? Is that what we call? Caucasian, you got Indian, you got Japanese, you got Bulgarian. I mean, all these different things. But according to the scripture, they ain't but one race of people. According to scripture, there's one race, and he called it the human race.
Right.
Now, I understand we got different languages. I understand we got different degrees of melatonin in our skin. Aubrey's my granddaughter, but that girl's white as a piece of cotton. She's like her mama. Aiden, he's a little bit more, his melatonin in his skin is a little bit more like me and Travis and Scotty. I mean, he tans. Aubrey and Beth, they're so white, they burn, peel off, and they're white. Burn, peel off, and they're white. Does that mean they're a different race? No, they just got different melatonin in their skin. Well, see, the devil likes to use all these things to divide us, but God made it so we, just like this. Y'all ever seen a racist that don't eat Chinese? They won't eat Chinese. I don't like Taco Bell, Donnie. Now, Taco Bell is Americanized Mexican food. It's not real Mexican food. But as Caucasians, we call it Mexican food because most of us don't know the real thing. See, I don't want nothing to do with you, but I want your culture of food. Yeah, I'm not saying that. But see, what God fully intends is the variety. Now, see, I'm talking about food and culture and color and race, but I'm talking about spirit. So the devil don't want me hooked up. Don't want you hooked up with the Baptist. Why? Pentecostals got more than they got. Bless God. When I was a child, I thought as a child, I've grown up and become a man now. You ain't grown up and become nothing.
That's right.
Sometimes the more we know, the more manured we get. Because we think now we know something. Well, this is getting off on a different direction. Hey, I just follow. I just work here. So the devil fully intends for all of that stuff to divide and conquer because he knows that's the only way that the church will never prevail.
Right.
And I have come across people that I'm telling you the honest goodness truth. In talking with them, the words they say and the spirit that you get, they are more, lack of a better word, proud of being a Baptist or a Lutheran or some kind of denomination than they are being a Christian.
Right.
I cannot stand labels on me. Don't label me a Pentecostal. Yes, I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. Yes, I pray in tongues. But I'm not a Pentecostal. I am a Christian. I'm a Christian. And that's it. So therefore, when I'm that, I can fellowship with anybody.
Right.
They ask you what you are. They ask Scotty, what are you? What they mean is, we don't care if you're a Christian or not. Tell us what your denomination is, so therefore we know what you believe, and therefore we'll tell you if we can fellowship with you or not. That's wrong.
That is right.
And that has got to be laid down. And it needs to start with us.
Yep.
Why? Because the church can't be divided. She can't be divided in this room. She can't be divided on Facebook. She can't be divided. Listen, your pastor heard there was a church started in Bluntsville. Might not be here at the red light, but it's in the city limits. So I don't know, might be out of the city limits. Anyway, they have a Bluntsville address. Somebody started a church, a Bluntsville address. Not going to tell you where it is or nothing because that's not the point. And your pastor got word that we and him didn't want them there. How they got that, I don't know. See, a lot of times, too, because we have become so infiltrated like the world and not been renewed in our mind with the Word of God, you expect them to be against you. Bless God, they might steal our members. Y'all not saying nothing. You're not my member to begin with.
Amen.
You belong to Him. And it's up to you whether you go stay where He puts you or not. Not up to me. I'm still going to be carrying on. But because He got Word that we didn't want them there, and he didn't want them there. He told me, he said, I want you to cut them a so-and-so church a check up there for $1,000 and get it mailed to them. And I'm like, are you serious? Yeah, just send it to them. What better way to bust the devil than with $1,000? Send me $1,000. Go on and bust him. Just bust him. I want you to. Send me $1,000. Why would he do that? Because we're not against no other church down here. We need all the help we can possibly get.
Yes.
And we're comfortable enough in what God has told us to do and in the will of God for us in this church that y'all don't belong to us. Y'all belong to Him. Now, we may help you when we know something the will of God that God has for your life. We may try to help you, correct you, keep you in the will of God. But hey, if you got to go, baby, go.
Right.
A lot of pastors are not like that, sad to say.
Yeah.
See, just because you're in leadership don't always mean you're right. There is leadership, they are totally wrong. There is leadership that they pocket the money. Y'all not saying that. And see, and that hurts the body. But needless to say, you ain't going to find the perfect church yet. Right. Assembly. Why? Ain't none of us perfect yet as far as complete flawless in the natural. In our thinking or in our actions. You know? And I mean, then that hurts people. Some people got offended at church. Some things like that. That's just like one of the churches. I'm not going to call the name. Some of y'all might remember. That was out here. It was a pretty good sized congregation and all of that. And some things started coming out about some wrongdoing with finances and different things like that. We personally know some people that attended that church assembly that, to my knowledge, they've never been back to another assembly again. But listen, if that has happened to you, if leadership has done you wrong, I mean, there's some leadership, they want to dominate and control everything. Johnny, you can't wear your hair like that. Scotty, you can't wear that color shirt. I'm the head. I'm the shepherd under the over shepherd. Tell y'all what to do. I ain't got time for all that mess. I barely get my own hair fixed. I don't care what your hair looks like. You understand what I'm telling you? But sad to say, there are some that. They tell them who they can marry. They tell them who they can date. That's wrong. But listen, just because something's wrong, kind of like Brother Brad used to say, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
Just fix some new water and wash the baby. Now listen, people's hearing me all over the world. This is going on Facebook and also on our website, and people need to hear this. We need to hear this.
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe Scotty didn't shake your hand right, you know, or maybe my tone of voice just irked you someday, or I don't know, hurt your feelings. I mean, I don't know how many times I've hurt Richard's feelings, bless his heart. You know, he told me one time, he said, you know, I was going to quit. And Stacy, you know, she told me, you know, and what about Scotty? Wasn't here, one giveaway. And when he's not here, I have to take his place. You understand? And I'm not used to that. So whatever your position is, buddy, just handle it. I don't even want to hear about it. Take care of it. Don't even care how you do it. Just get it done. Well, that's what I told him. I'm coming in the door, you know, and I said, and Richard was over the parking lot at the time. And I said, okay, Richard. I said, whatever goes on, take care of it. I don't want to hear nothing about it. And I come in, I close the door. I hurt his feelings. But you might have hurt mine too. I mean, I don't know. They can get hurt. I try not to let them, but I mean, usually a dagger or something, it can. It's usually got to be pretty rough, you know, or whatever. But anyway, and he told me, and I told him I was sorry. Richard, I never meant to hurt your feelings. I wouldn't hurt your feelings on purpose. But see, sometimes we're so baby. And Jesus is building the church. He's making us rocks like him that can't be moved. It's sad to say there's people out there, they're being moved about a lot of different stuff. They get upset with God. That's the one you better not ever get upset with. He's your only hope.
Amen.
Regardless of what your little heart thought you were supposed to get or not. Been there, done that. Well, you know, and we have to fellowship with one another. Then we have to fellowship with other parts of the body. You know, I mean, I wish that all of the churches in this area, if we could have at least, I don't know, a few times a year, one big assembly together in one place. I would love it. Johnny, I like Mexican food.
Me too.
I like the Taco Bell and I like the real stuff. I've had some of that too. I say that because you're not Caucasian, you know. Well, hopefully, do we have Caucasian food?
And toast. Beans and potatoes.
I know the color of the black people, they have what they got, soul food. I don't much care for that. That's really got a lot of lard in it. So they like it. Hey, whatever pleases you. I think ours is called American, ain't it? We're called American food. I don't know. Help us, Jesus. We're up on all these foods. But my point to that is the fellowship. I like variety. I like to talk to people that don't necessarily have the same view that I have. Why? Because just like this, I didn't know I liked Mexican food until I took a bite out of it.
Right.
I like Chinese food. Now, Scotty about ruined me with that. I mean, that man can eat Chinese every weekend. I get a little tired of that. But yet, he'll go to Subway and eat the same thing. I don't like the same thing. I like variety.
Right.
I like different cultures.
Yep.
You can learn a lot of stuff.
Sure.
Good stuff.
Yep.
But a lot of different things. You understand? It's the same way in the spirit. when you fellowship with other people, and I'm talking about born again people, that might have a little different take on some of the scriptures than what you have. Do you understand you're not right about everything you think you're right about? I believe I'm right. But at the same time, I'm going to stay with the scripture. I only know in parts. And you may have a part I don't know.
Right.
So when our revelations and our anointings and our graces and our giftings and they all come together, oh, it's like a big bowl of goulash. Y'all ever have what they call goulash?
Yeah.
Oh, that stuff's so good. It's got anything and everything in it. If you can think of it, it's about got it in it.
Right.
So it's good. I say it's too good for you, but anyway, let's get off of all that. Where are we at? Y'all remember? Or did I tell y'all?
Romans 8:29
Oh, we read that one. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 1. Let's look at that. Since we're talking about fellowshipping together here. Whew, gosh, this will have to be our last verse. We got a minute. Scotty keeps me on a schedule. I don't think that's fair. He don't have a schedule.
He gets
an hour and a half. I get 45 minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If I can get over there. Verse 1. It says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes our brother. Notice this. Unto who? Verse 2.
The church.
Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. To them, I told you there's no you or I, that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called, there's that word again, to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. See, some of us can't even agree on the same Jesus. He's black, he's white, he's Mexican, he's Puerto Rican. Listen, he's spirit. It don't matter what color his skin was when he was down here on the earth. He's spirit. And we're spirit. So that stuff don't even matter. Now notice verse 9. It says, God is faithful by whom you were called. Notice that word just keeps showing up. Unto fellowship. That word fellowship, when you look it up. How do you say it? Koinonia. Something like that. And one of the definitions of that is intercourse. I mean, you can't get no greater fellowship than this word fellowship. He says, whom you were called unto the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, I've got to stop. And we'll read scripture later on that says that we're called to fellowship also with one another. See, this stuff that is a lot of Christians are believing, because you believe wrong, you do wrong. Because you believe wrong, you don't get the right results that you think, according to scripture, you ought to be having. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comment or anything before we close?